What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Jeff Passan will join us in less than 60 seconds. But, Linz, what do you got here real quick?
Well, guys, the wait will continue for MLB's home run king. After falling short in 10 years on the writer's ballot, Barry Bonds was not voted into the Hall of Fame by the Contemporary Baseball Era Committee, which met over the weekend for the vote. The group, which consists of former players, MLB executives, and members of the media, did elect one new member, Fred McGriff. Roger Clemens was also rejected, as he and Bonds' accomplishments are, of course, tainted with the steroid accusations. So the next time that Bonds and Clemens could be considered would be by a contemporary committee for the 2026 Hall of Fame class. So that's what you need to know.
Thank you, Lindsay. And again, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Cappy, look, you've heard my position on this. We'll ask Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, who will join us in a second, amongst many things that we'll have a conversation with him about, as he is at the winter meetings in San Diego. I will say this, Passan, I don't know about you, but when Fred McGriff went in, the crime dog, the immediate thought in my head was, shout out to Tom Emanski.
Oh, big time. Tom Emanski's the man.
You know, I think my Tom Emanski love was spoiled when I believe on his last SportsCenter, Kenny Mayne interviewed Fred McGriff, and I'm pretty sure Fred McGriff said, I've never watched a Tom Emanski instructional baseball videos before.
No!
I know. It's ruinous, I'm telling you. I'm just breaking people's hearts today.
I mean, I know, but I remember it so clearly, like, he was reading the first part of it. He was like, hello, I am Fred McGriff. And it was like, can't you just, like, chill, like, yo, what's up, I'm Fred McGriff. Like, he was reading the script from the very beginning. Yeah. I love the Tom Emanski commercials.
Yeah.
You know what, George? Not everybody can be as personable as you.
Well, that is fair and true. Now, let me ask you this question. By the way,
don't we all know that to be the truth?
It is good to hear your voice again. It has been too long. I know you're a busy man, so we will try to keep this as brief as possible, but thank you again for the time. So let's start with something that is a happy thing for people here in Southern California where we are. Clayton Kershaw signs a one-year deal, $20 million. I feel like that's fair. I think Madison Bumgarner, you would know, got 18, if I recall correctly, per year. So how did you feel about the Kershaw deal?
Oh, I don't think it's fair. I think it's positively cheap compared to what the rest of the baseball rates are these days. Clayton Kershaw put up, a low 2 ERA last year? Guys who were doing that are getting $35-40+ million a year right now. I think, honestly, despite the fact that Clayton Kershaw's health is a question mark and will continue to be a question mark, getting a guy of his caliber for $20 million is an absolute coup. And, you know, the Dodgers are lucky. They're lucky that they have somebody in Clayton Kershaw who, A, wants to be with the organization he's been with his entire career, and B, doesn't look at baseball like it's some sort of money grab and like he's going to try and extract every last dollar. And I'm not going to sit here and suggest that is the way that all players should go about things. Like, I understand why guys want to get paid, but Clayton Kershaw's made a lot of money and done a lot of good with his money, and it would just feel weird to see him in any other uniform than the Dodgers.
Jeff, is that how you would characterize Verlander going to the Mets?
I don't know for a fact whether it was biggest dollars, but I'd have to assume it was in the neighborhood. The Dodgers were in on Justin Verlander, but I do not believe they were into the tune of $43.3 million a year. And I'm telling you, I don't begrudge anybody for taking less money, just as I do not begrudge anybody for going and taking more money. You know, athletes, we want to sit here and Monday morning quarterback their financial decisions. We don't know anything, and we don't know where they are in their lives, what they're comfortable with, what they want, what they desire. We know none of these things. So to suggest that Justin Verlander is any less virtuous than Clayton Kershaw for prioritizing a high salary, I think is a foolish thing to do. He went where he thought he would be happiest, and whatever makes a person happy, I'm not going to sit here and try and judge that.
Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, is in San Diego for the MLB Winter Meetings. George Sedano, Scott Kaplan with you here. All right, so I'm going to steal this from Bill Shakin of the LA Times, which I thought was a pretty hilarious tweet when it came to the Dodgers. How to get rich? Play shortstop for the Dodgers. Manny Machado in 2019 got $300 million. Yeah. Corey Seager, yeah. $325 last year, and now Trey Turner, $300 million. A, what did you make of Trey Turner's decision? And B, what do the Dodgers need to do at shortstop now, in your opinion?
I think Trey Turner's decision was great because he got $300 million. He wanted $300 million. He ended up on a team that won the National League pennant last year and a team that honestly probably made the most sense for him. In terms of the Dodgers, though, they're in a very interesting position because they can go and do pretty much whatever they want financially. Like, they're in as good of a non-New York Yankees financial position as any team out there, and yet because of where they have been financially over the last two seasons, their CBT payrolls were $286 and $302 million. I mean, those are enormous numbers, and numbers that get you the third time penalty, which is as high of a penalty as you can get for going over the threshold. And while I'm not sure if the Dodgers are going to end up under the $233 million threshold, they shed a whole lot of money this offseason. And I don't think they're being aggressive in the shortstop market. I could see them going out and getting a shortstop if the price is, you know, fall on guys, but don't think it's fallen on Carlos Correa. Don't think it's fallen on Xander Bogaerts. Don't think it's fallen on Dansby Swanson. Mm. And so if that is the case, I think we're going to see Gavin Lux at shortstop next year for the Dodgers. Wow. And that is something that I think is probably going to anger a lot of Dodgers fans. And I suppose the only retort that I have for that is Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Max Muncy, Chris Taylor. This is still a really good baseball team, and it may not be, you know, 111 win baseball team, but what are 111 wins get them in October? Not a whole lot.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think about all these teams in the East, you know, the Mets and the way they're spending money, the Phillies and what they just got from the Dodgers. I mean, we have to at least throw the Braves in here also, obviously, right? I wonder if the power that we all perceive the Dodgers have is really now in those three teams in the East. Has the power shifted to the eastern side of the country? What do you think?
I'm not going to say the power shifted until the Dodgers come out and don't win the division, or until they're proven to be far more fallible. And the Dodgers have put themselves in, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, in an unenviable position. They've been so good that anything short of that is going to feel almost like a letdown. But I think we need to look at the Phillies and understand the way that baseball works. You can win 87 games and win the pennant going away. They beat the Padres in five games. They swept the Cardinals in the division series. Like, they were dominant this postseason. This was a regular season team that, frankly, wasn't all that good. And so if the Dodgers have an eye, not their eyes, not plural, if they have an eye on the 2023-2024 offseason, in which Shohei Ohtani is a free agent, and they're not going out and spending this winter because they feel like that doing so would put them in a disadvantageous position next winter. Like, listen, as much as we hate it as sports fans, guys, every team's got a budget. And yes, the Dodgers' budget should be higher than just about everyone else in baseball. But I don't necessarily think that pulling back from a $300 million payroll is the sort of thing that deserves derision. Like, the Dodgers have spent like no other team has spent. And if they don't spend that same way for 1 year, I can't sit here and begrudge them that now, because I need to see over the next few years what that leads to, right? It's very easy to get caught up in one-year spending and say, you know, this team's going all in, or this team is pulling back and it's a problematic thing. Ask me in 2026. Like, that may sound like a cop-out, but it's just the reality of baseball finance. Like, this is not a one-year-at-a-time thing, even if some teams occasionally do treat it that way. This is something that needs to be assessed over multiple years.
Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, joining us here on the show. All right, who's really in on Aaron Judge? Like, if you had to narrow it down to a group of teams, like, who do you think actually has a shot here?
I mean, I think the Yankees, until I hear otherwise, are the favorite. I think the San Francisco Giants are real players, and then it's a bunch of teams that may just sit back and say, well, if the market is going to be as wild as it is, and if lesser players than Aaron Judge are going to be getting these obscene dollars, maybe we should be in there. Maybe there's actual value in a, you know, $40 million a year guy over a long-term contract. But I don't think it's ever too late in the game for a team to jump in. But they got a lot of clawing to do to get to where the Yankees and the Giants are right now. So I think those are the two favorites at this point. But, you know, you're only favorite as long as somebody else isn't making an offer.
Hey, Jeff, last thing for me. What are you doing during the winter meetings? Like, I always see these things on SportsCenter, and I think to myself, do I ever want to go to a winter meeting? And I'm not too far away.
Should we be hanging out at the lobby and drinking with you, or what's going on there?
Yeah, Clinton Yates sent me a text today. He's like, hey, I'm down here for the winter meetings.
Yeah.
I'm like, so you tell us, what's going on?
Yeah, paint the scene. Are you and, like, Kirchen, like, doing shots of tequila? Like, what's going on there?
Kirchen's not here, actually.
Oh, damn.
But I would love to do shots of tequila with Tim Kirchen. As long as it's good tequila, though, like, I don't drinking bad tequila is just a generally bad idea.
Yeah,
it doesn't end up well the next morning, and if it doesn't end up well the next morning, you swear off tequila for years, and then someone introduces you to good tequila, and you're like, no, but I don't like tequila, and then you try it, and you're like, oh, but I do like tequila. So no, we're not doing shots of tequila here. I actually didn't have a drink last night. I went to the bar at about 12:15, and was very excited to get a bourbon, and the bar was closed.
Oh.
And let me tell you, with the number of people who are at this hotel right now and the number of drinks that each wants to consume, shutting down a bar at 12 o'clock at a winter meetings is the worst business decision I've seen. I was going to try and come up with something clever. It's just a terrible business decision to make. And I urge this hotel to keep the bar open later.
Yeah, seriously, Kaplan, you're a San Diego guy. Can you help passing out here?
I understand this problem, though, Jeff. This is not a San Diego issue or that hotel issue. It is an issue that happens at hotels all over the place. I had this exact same conversation with the bar manager at a hotel. This is a few months ago. I'm like, bro, there's a music festival in your town. There's people that are staying in your hotel. How can you close the hotel bar at 11 o'clock at night? And his answer was, liability. I'm like, liability my ass, man.
Yeah.
Open the freaking bar and start serving drinks, pal.
Well, maybe he looked at your ass and said, that's the liability.
Well, perhaps. Yep. I mean, I don't really have much of an ass, if I'm being honest. I mean, it's just, I don't really have that much.
That's just not nice.
We're going to help you. You know what? Winter meetings need to be like in L.A. or Vegas or Miami every year. Then you can get drinks pretty late in those cities. So,
I look forward to it. And please, make it happen. I know you've got the power, Sedano.
Oh, he got the juice, all right.
I've got juice. Yeah, plenty of that. So anyway, at least in my own mind. Passan,
right, exactly.
It was great to hear your voice. Hopefully we will do this again soon. Hopefully you get yourself some Woodford Reserve or Booker's or whatever bourbon you want to drink. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure, boys. Good talking.
See ya.
Later.
There he is, Jeff Passan with us here. Kaplan, what is wrong with your city?
Well, I don't know if it's a city thing. I think it's a hotel problem.
Yeah, you know? Laura thinks it's a city thing.
Does she?
Yeah, it's so much.
Really?
We'll discuss further on the other side. Plus, the playoff picture, it's still just barely open for a couple of teams that people here love. And then it's wide open for another team or two that people here definitely love. We'll get to the playoff picture in the NFL next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ivan Munoz, put that man on the line, Laura. Ivan Munoz, congratulations, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You win Rams Broncos tickets on Christmas Day. And here's the deal. You get a shot at $1 million. All you got to do is you got to nail the two Super Bowl teams and the exact score in the Super Bowl. If you do that, we're going to be knocking at your door with a case full of cash. So tell me that prediction.
All right. I'm going to go Dolphins and Eagles.
Dolphins-Eagles. All right, now what's the score in that game?
Dolphins 34, Eagles 47.
Okay, hold on. So the Eagles are going to win the game?
Yeah.
Okay, Eagles 47, Dolphins 34, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. My man.
All right, so Eagles 47, Dolphins 34. High-scoring game in the Super Bowl. That would be a hell of a Super Bowl.
I'm taking the over right now.
All right, so over. Ivan, hopefully that happens. If the Eagles beat the Dolphins 47-34, we are knocking at your door with $1 million. Okay, pal.
Sounds good.
All right, we're gonna put you. You got it, man. Thank you for listening, and we're gonna put you on hold, and they'll take care of you. Enjoy the tickets. So, Cappy, that's the Eagles are gaining momentum in these $1 million Monday picks for sure.
Well, I mean, if you remember the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, everybody was calling in. They were taking the Rams.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's taking the Rams now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And remember the time when somebody asked us, George, who's going to have more wins after 17 games, the Lakers or the Rams?
Yeah.
Lakers win.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams may not win another game this season. I mean, like legit, they may not win another game this season because the Rams are playing the Raiders this Thursday night.
Maybe that game?
Maybe. I mean, but I got to say, the Raiders are on a roll right now. They've won 3 straight. Then they got to go to Green Bay. Maybe against the Broncos, who are terrible. Maybe against the Chargers? Maybe they beat the Chargers, George. Maybe the Rams actually do win a game before the season ends.
You pick everybody against the Chargers, though. That's not necessarily an objective opinion.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
Then they finish the season at Seattle. They may have a hard time winning another game this year.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ivan Munoz. Hopefully he wins the $1 million. I mean, look, if it's Eagles 47, Dolphins 34, I mean, that's a hell of a game.
I'll tell you this, though. After what I saw out of the Dolphins yesterday to get beat in San Francisco, look, it's cross-country. It's a long trip. I get it all.
The Niners are the best roster in the sport, I think.
Well, they definitely have one of the top defenses and pass rushes and things. But you don't think
they have some of the best skill position players too?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, Debo's a great receiver, and Christian McCaffrey's been a great addition to this team. There's no doubt. But when you lose your starting quarterback early in the season, who you think is going to be a new dual threat type of guy, and then Jimmy G is going to save you, but then now here he is this week, gets hurt and is gone for the season, and you're off to your third string quarterback, who was the last guy drafted. I mean, this is supposed to be Mr. Irrelevant here, this guy.
All right, so you know what? Tell me. Brock Purdy becomes the next Tom Brady. How about that? I'm going to stake that claim before anyone else does. I own that take if it ever happens.
Okay, now if it doesn't ever happen,
then it doesn't matter, just like everything else. Skip Bayless and my buddy Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd and everybody, and you know, all our guys here at ESPN who are opinionists all say. No one ever remembers the stuff they get wrong anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I know, but like you remember the stuff I get wrong.
Yeah,
like,
but
all
that's
the time.
Yeah, for sure. But
should I hold on to this one?
No,
this is a crazy take.
It's just like, you know, I'm in first. I'm just it's like when you call shotgun in a car.
Oh, okay. I got you. So you think this Purdy guy is going to be the next
I think
Tom
he's going to be pretty good.
Mhm. So I wonder if the Niners, just on a side note, decide to go out and find anybody that's available.
I don't think Baker Mayfield is better than Brock Purdy at this stage. Baker Mayfield couldn't do anything.
Oh, I'm not saying that you bring Baker Mayfield in to start for you. I'm just saying that you need a backup.
Well, I think they signed Josh Johnson, didn't they?
Josh Johnson's amazing. I love Josh Johnson.
I love his story, yeah.
Do you know that Josh Johnson played college football and his head football coach was Jim Harbaugh long before Jim Harbaugh is who he was? Right.
Yeah.
long before Jim Harbaugh was at Stanford or with the Niners or obviously now with Michigan, when Jim Harbaugh was doing what Deion Sanders did at Jackson State, Josh Johnson was his quarterback.
Yeah.
This guy had like a 14, 15-year career as a backup quarterback.
Yep, I love him.
Get paid, man. Good job.
Yeah, I love the dude. I'm excited.
This is his second or third stint with the Niners, too.
Yeah, but whatever. Who cares, man?
Hey, listen, get paid however you can, man.
Make money. What you say, huh?
But I guess my point is, though, is that the listener, Ivan, was his name, right?
Yeah, Ivan Munoz.
He picked the Dolphins and the Eagles. After what I saw out of the Dolphins this past weekend, as much as I was kind of on their bandwagon, I don't really think that they're a Super Bowl team yet this year.
No, I don't either, but it's just one game. I mean, Tua had a bad game. He'd had a bunch of great games in a row. He's been one of the best, most efficient quarterbacks in the league this year. He's really accurate. And the Niners are what the Dolphins want to be eventually. So, like, I think that's kind of also a bad matchup for them.
But I don't know if I'm going to put Miami right now. If you said to me, okay, look, who are the best teams in the AFC?
No, I think that Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo in that order, even though obviously Cincinnati has had the best of Kansas City in the, you know, they've won, beat them three times in a row. Nobody's done that to Mahomes and Andy Reid. So, you know, Cincinnati, Styles Make Fights, has done pretty well for themselves. But those are the three at the top. But then after that, the Dolphins are right there.
Well, yeah, the Dolphins are in that conversation with the Baltimore Ravens, although now the Ravens have an issue because they don't know what the deal is going to be with Lamar.
They're in the second tier of AFC teams, which is pretty damn good.
Right. Miami, I'd say Tennessee, Baltimore.
I think they're better than Tennessee and Baltimore this year.
They might be. Yeah. They might be. We'll see.
They beat Baltimore, and they'll play Tennessee, I believe.
So you're going to go to the game on Sunday, Chargers and Dolphins. And you say you don't have a Tua jersey. I'm not a jersey guy either, but... No. How about like a t-shirt or a ball cap? Something that represents the Miami Dolphins.
No, I'm not going to wear
Charger gear, are you?
I'm good. No, I'm not going to wear Charger gear either. I'm good. I'm just going to go in like a t-shirt and jeans and I'll be fine.
That's nice.
And maybe like a jacket because it might be cold. You never know.
ESPN.
Are you putting that Monday Night Football on?
Yeah,
I'm
going back to the Monday Night Football game now.
By the way, why? Okay, so Laura says your city closes too early, much earlier than even LA, which closes kind of early in retrospect when you think about it, 1:30 last call, which is really in some places like 1:15.
Yep.
But San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Booty.
Booty, according to Laura.
Except gas lamp.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, man, Jeff Passan's right. For those of you that are just getting here, he was talking about how he got to the bar last night at 12:30. Now, you're in the main hotel where these baseball winter meetings are going on.
Yeah.
You got general managers, you got media types, you got people that want to drink at the bar, and at 12:30, the bar is closed. To me, I'm with Jeff. It's a really bad business decision. But I was telling the same story. I was in, I was in Orange County in San Juan Capistrano, staying at a very nice hotel right by the Mission, for those who know where I'm talking about, right off Camino Capistrano. Mm-hmm. And this was the Ohana Festival. And so people were going from the festival back to the hotel. It's like 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night, and they're closing the bar. And we're like, guys, what are you doing? And like, sorry, we, bartender's leaving and, you know, the shift is ending. And I'm like, but wait, didn't somebody in management say there's a big festival, the hotel is packed this weekend, we want to make lots more money, so we're going to keep the bar open? And one of the guys was like, well, you know, it's a corporate hotel. And I'm like, so what are you saying? Like, if it was a privately owned hotel, the owner would be like, no, we're staying open.
Do you want me to call my friend who's a hotel GM in Lexington, not in San Diego, and see what he would do like during like Keeneland they just had the Breeders' Cup there, right? You want me to ask him what he would do?
Sure. If you feel like he would provide a qualified opinion.
I mean, I could just text him. It's just easier. I don't have to call him. But it's probably late, too. It's also like 9:30 where he lives.
I mean, why the heck would you not be open when you have the baseball meetings?
I agree.
You know, when my brother got married and they had like the after party at the hotel that everyone was staying in, they closed at like midnight. And there was a whole entire lobby filled with people or whatever, you know, like the entertaining area with the bar filled with at least 50 people, if not close to 100.
Yeah,
and they closed the
bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, your boy Tom Brady's done, bro. He's so toast this year. Like it's been the whole year. And now it's just like it's bad. Like it's still bad.
Well, that interception that he just threw, you're like, Tom, you really didn't see that linebacker standing right there?
It's 45. At some point, it had to end, yeah?
Yeah, but, man, you talk about going off a cliff quickly.
I mean, but that's how it happens to great, like, players for the most part. It literally is off a cliff. It doesn't go, like, gradually. It, like, just, like, it's gone.
But I wonder if his Tom Brady and the decline we're watching, if that's purely his age or if there's so much more to the story.
Well, there's probably all of it, but I mean, the age definitely factors in. Maybe Giselle had all the kale pajamas he used to wear and that, you know, helped rejuvenate him or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe there's just so much weighing on him right now. Just can't really focus.
Yeah.
God, I hope he's done this year.
All right, time to let it go because we have to go to Big Deal or No Deal next. Thanks, Christopher. All right, Lindsay, you take it away.
Thanks, Sedano. All right, guys, so legendary boxer Floyd Mayweather has made a lot of money in his career.
Yeah.
And now, apparently, he is willing to spend it on an NBA team.
I saw that.
Yes. Well, recently,
yeah,
Floyd Mayweather spoke about it at a public event, and here's what he said about making an offer.
I've been working on buying an NBA team outright for a while now. You know, it's kind of, it's rough.
Vegas?
It could be the Vegas franchise. It could be the Seattle franchise.
Yeah.
Or I could be buying a franchise that's already up and running. The first offer, we offered them a little bit over $2 billion for majority ownership. Do I have it? Absolutely, I have it. But
clap it up for that.
So is what Floyd Mayweather said a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
I mean, it's a big deal, I guess, because he's Floyd Mayweather. But, I mean, first of all, I don't think $2 billion is enough to buy an NBA team in 2022. I mean, he could be part of a group at $2 billion because he's probably going to need at least another billion or two to get in the game, I think, at this point. If he wants the expansion franchise in Vegas, which he also would probably have to fight the group that the Red Sox ownership group that owns Liverpool, that LeBron's a part of, too. So he's going to have to fight that group, too. And my guess is if the NBA is going to lean in a direction for Vegas, it's going to be LeBron and the Red Sox-Liverpool group.
But you say he's going to have to fight LeBron for it. I mean,
not literally fight.
Okay, because if in a literal fight, I mean, I still think I might take Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, I would take
LeBron.
Floyd in a real fight. He's a boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't. The one thing he said in there was, we offered $2 billion for majority control.
Majority control he might be able to get.
Right. Look, if an NBA basketball team were going to be, you know, bought for, or the transaction was $3 billion, you don't have to have what Steve Ballmer had where you show up with a, you know, a suitcase full of cash.
Which, by the way, that was like an ATM transaction for him.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to go like that, you know? But Floyd wants control. See?
Yeah.
That's really the key here.
Yeah.
Is that if Floyd is going to be an NBA owner, you know he's going to need control. He can't just be like the passive, you know, sits on the board kind of owner. He's going to be the I have to make the decisions, I'm in control, Mark Cuban kind of owner.
Right.
Which, by the way, would make things so entertaining. I'm all in on this.
Okay. Next, Linz.
All right. So Art Basel has kicked
Basil.
Off. Basel. Sorry, my bad. Has kicked off in Miami this week. Of course, Sedano would know how to pronounce it because he's from Miami, and he probably has experienced this awesome art happening before. So it's known for its interactive art experiences. One exhibit that has gone viral also has art lovers scratching their heads. It's called the ATM Leaderboard, which is an ATM that displays the account balance of the people who use it on a leaderboard in front of everybody to see at the show. The ATM will also take a photo of the person that's using it, entering their card at the time, and it's displayed next to their account balance on the big giant screen. I feel like this is kind of a big deal, so would you guys be okay with using the ATM that shows your photo along with your bank account balance on it for everybody around you to see?
No, I would not be. That's a big deal, but I would not want that to be the case. I am, first of all, I don't even like, I know we were joking about the whole Oprah thing earlier during crosstalk. Yeah, I don't like doing that. Like, I'm not big on just like posting everything about my life, let alone if my bank account was on a big board.
My answer would be no, just because I'm embarrassed about what's in my bank account, or really more what's not in my bank account. But what's the art in that?
I mean, it's like I said, it's like the whole point of it is like different interactive, weird, unique experiences. So, I mean, Cappy, at the end of the day, like, you could call literally anything art. And it's kind of like a, I don't know, George, what's the best way to explain it? It's like a technology exhibit, like, type of art stuff. It's just, like, weird off-the-wall stuff that you wouldn't normally see, you know, in an art museum filled with, like, paintings and sculptures.
Yeah. A friend of mine called me the other day. He was on his way down there. And he's like, yeah, we're going down to Art Basel. Is that how it's pronounced?
Art George Basel.
Basel. And he's like, you know, the art show in Miami, you know what I'm talking about, right? And I was like, yeah, of course. I mean, of course I do. And I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? I have no idea what he's talking
really?
About. Yeah, I don't know it. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know the art, Basil. Hmm. Not really into art. Hmm. Kind of a, I think I've told you this story before. A buddy of mine bought this ridiculous piece of art. He told, and he stood me in front of me. He goes, look at this thing. He goes, you got to see this. So I looked at it and he goes, well, what do you think? And I go, it's all right. It's nothing major. He's like, you know how much I paid for that? I'm like, no, I have no idea. He told me how much. I'm like, come on. You paid that for this?
How much was it?
At the time, $1 million.
How long ago was this?
Probably 10 years ago. It's now worth like $4 or $5 million.
Mm-hmm. Art's wow. a good investment.
Yeah, it is. See? But you see, I don't have the eye. You yeah. know, not at all.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great documentary about all these stolen paintings or fake paintings from a very famous artist, I forget his name, back in like the 70s and 80s. And these dudes were just like making these fake paintings of his in their freaking garage in like the middle of nowhere and selling them for hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's pretty crazy.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I'm always fascinated by people who have these criminal schemes and get away with them. Or at least for a while, they get away with them. But like, who comes up with these ideas?
Scammers. Con men, you know? They mm-hmm. always get caught. Almost always. Mm. Anyway. Last one here. So Joe Rogan apparently wants The Rock, of all people, to come clean about his supposed steroid use after this whole Liver King scandal. So you guys mentioned the Liver King thing, and last week this dude admitted to using steroids in an apology video after he was exposed by a YouTuber.
Does everybody follow the Liver King, just to be clear?
I have no idea what the hell this
okay,
is.
Okay, the Liver King,
I was wondering.
Cabby, you want to explain it real quick?
So George, the Liver King is this guy. He looks like when we were kids, the wrestling dolls you would get in the stores, like yeah. in the toy stores. He's got every muscle, like the chest, every ab. His arms are all swollen and vascular, his neck, and he's constantly working out, and he's eating mostly like raw meat, and he loves testicles, this guy. He loves to eat animal testicles. And what he does is he does these videos on Instagram. He's like, this is what the Liver King is having for dinner. The Liver Queen is eating this. Liver Boys, and he's got these two sons. And I don't know who he is or what he did to make money, but apparently he's made a lot of money, and he lives on this giant like ranch in Texas.
He's just like a social media influencer. Basically, he got famous for like saying that all he was all natural and all he ate was like liver and gross stuff.
Okay.
And then at the end of every video, he says, Liver King out.
Yeah.
Liver King out. Okay, so anyway, he claimed to be all natural, his amazing physique of his, all natural, all because of his crazy clean diet, blah, blah, blah. And over the weekend, after this guy was exposed and apologized for it, Joe Rogan, who has been calling this guy out for months, saying, okay, this guy is not all natural, whatever, he reacted to the apology video. And at the end of it, he said, you know who else needs to come clean? Is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He needs to admit that he's taking steroids and hormone replacement therapy. So do you guys think that it's a big deal or no deal that Joe Rogan is calling out The Rock, one of the most, if not the most famous guy in the country, for using steroids? Cappy, you
well,
go
why,
first.
Why do we care, number one, that he took steroids or not?
Well, that's why I'm asking. Is it a big deal or no deal?
So I guess it's kind of a big deal just for this reason. You have Rogan, who's got this monster platform, and he reaches millions and millions of people, and he's choosing to go after The Rock, who, to your point, Lindsay, might be the most famous movie star, maybe one of the most famous people in America.
Beloved, too, nonetheless.
Right, but just because he's beloved, look, does everybody here think that Dwayne Johnson is 100% all natural? Or well, do you think that maybe just because you look at the way he's built and you look at his age and you look at the number of years that he's been built this way and you look at his body, the way it's changed over the years, look, it takes tremendous discipline. You got to have the right diet. You got to have the right training, et cetera, et cetera. But there are ways to enhance things. I mean, Sylvester Stallone did it. Big deal.
Yeah, I don't care. Did Joe? I think Joe Rogan did steroids too. He's way bigger than he used to be. I think that's probably pretty much out there.
Yeah,
he said that he does.
Okay, then what do we care though?
Why do we care?
I think his point
we
is
assume.
Just. This is. I think his point is that like you know he's this beloved figure and he does he's so this what? Disney guy and he does all this stuff and he needs to tell people because from what I know, like I follow The Rock closely and I've never seen The Rock like
Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California and was a Mr. Olympia and was an actor that you know just like The Rock and nobody cared if he did it or didn't you know
right,
like
he just all assumed he did
right who cares
right and I think most people assume that The Rock does but just because
this
he's
is,
never come out and said it.
This is one of those reasons I dislike the Joe Rogan show.
I agree with
because
you.
Because all he does this literally just to get us to talk about him, which is already annoying me because we're talking about him. Because there's no reason to care why The Rock, if The Rock did or didn't do steroids, I don't care.
To put two and two together to say, well, the Liver King was shamed. He was steroid shamed. So when is The Rock going to come out? Hey, Joe, listen, I admire how Joe Rogan has built his business. So that's first and foremost. But I just assume that Dwayne Johnson's 50-something years old, and he's leaner now than he's ever been in his life based on all the videos I see. So just knowing a little bit, just a tiny little bit about training and steroids and everything, I mean, I just kind of assume it, but I don't really need Dwayne Johnson to tell me that.
Yeah, I don't. Right. And do you actually care?
I don't really care. Like, yeah, I mean, if you told me he was on it, I'd be like, yeah, and?
Okay, right. Exactly, Cappy.
I don't care. I mean, I love The Rock. I used to love Joe Rogan and listen to his show a lot, but over the past 2 years, he's gotten way too political for me. I don't want to get mixed up in that.
I mean, even going back to when he did news radio, you know what I mean? Like the TV show, like I've never gotten it. Like whatever it is, I don't get it. You know what I mean?
There's certain interviews with him that I found to be fascinating.
He's had friends of mine on the show and I still don't listen because I don't get it.
Well, wait a second though. I just have one question for you, Lindsay. If you found out tomorrow that Dwayne Johnson admitted, like the Liver King did, or Joe Rogan, I guess, that he was taking something beyond just, you know, good food. And
I'm pretty sure that that's like a foregone conclusion.
Right, but is that going to change your
no,
love for
and
The
that's
Rock?
Why I asked you guys this, because I feel like it's a weird thing to call a guy out for. And I didn't know if it's like, am I wrong in thinking like, okay, he's making a big deal out of something that really isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
And I mean, I guess it's all because, like, you know, the wrestlers in WWE, they're supposed to say that these guys don't do steroids, but they all do.
Dude, there was a huge, like story for years, like a scandal
right,
about
but,
the
but
steroids
then they,
back
then. They introduced,
then.
Like, the WWE wellness policy, and they claim that they test them every month and
who
blah,
cares?
Blah, blah.
Like, honestly, who cares? Joe Rogan on the non-oxygen list from now on.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to get the chancla now.
Yeah, I don't really have a no oxygen list.
Yeah, he's on. Him and the Kardashians. And who else did we add the other day, Laura?
I mean, Kanye's on there.
Oh, yeah, he's on there too. Yeah.
See, if I had one, Kanye would be at the
there
top
you go.
Of my
you
list.
Why don't you do it? Put him on your no oxygen list.
I don't like the no oxygen list. I'm one of these people that doesn't block anybody. I don't really like...
Okay. Well, Laura's about to block us if we don't go to break.
All right.
Yeah. So, all right. That's Big Deal or No Deal. Cappy, you and I on a Monday, we're going to pack a whole week's worth of shows into one day because, well, you know, we only have one show this week. So we're going to do our picks against the spread on a Monday with no information on injuries and see what the hell happens. You ready? Let's do it. Next. That's funny because Chris recorded this hours ago and used the song we started the show with.
Mm-hmm.
Look how
guess
that worked
out. Back. Guess who's back.
AD's back. AD's back. AD's back. AD's back. AD's back.
Full circle.
AD's back. Bap. Bap, bap, bap. Go, Cappy.
Well, you know who was back before AD, though?
Who?
Me. You know how?
What?
When Casper Villa recorded this exact same song for Cappy's Back when I re-entered the Circle of Trust.
That is fair. It's a fair point.
Shout out to Casper.
Yeah, Casper Villa.
And shout out to the Circle.
Yeah, look at you coming full circle with the Circle.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
No more oval, huh?
I was on the oval of mistrust.
Distrust, I believe you said.
Yeah.
And now, back in the circle of trust.
Yeah.
How about that?
How's Boney doing, man? Rough weekend for USC.
You know, I did talk to him over the weekend, and typical of Mike Bone, the athletic director at USC, always puts a positive spin on everything, which I love.
Yeah.
He's like Pitbull. He makes a negative into a positive.
Yeah.
You know, I said, hey, man, you know, it was a rough game. Sorry, blah, 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 you know. And he's like, hey, on to the Heisman Trophy.
There you go, where Caleb will win. He's one of the candidates. Him, Stetson Bennett, Max Duggan, and who am I missing? Oh, C.J. Stroud from Ohio State.
How do you like the fact that my daughter's school, Tulane, which hasn't been good in football in about 35 years,
yeah,
won their conference championship and finds themselves playing against USC in the Cotton Bowl? Crazy.
That is wild. Are you going?
I'm not really that into it. That I would go. Although,
oh,
I mean,
man, I feel like that would be like all your worlds colliding, Boney and your daughter and all that stuff.
But, you know, George.
Maybe you can bring your other daughter, Nick the Stick, you know?
Well, Nick the Stick, I don't think is going to get the invitation. But is it New Year's Day, the Cotton Bowl? Does that sound right?
I believe so.
The day after.
It's January 2nd.
Yeah. Because my guy, Mark Jones and RG3 are doing it. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I would go because I think the 2nd is a Monday. And I think we come back to work on the 3rd.
Right.
But, you know, that last week of the year, I got major plans, you know.
Yeah, I know. We've discussed this before. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything that we want to do.
Well, I'm going to go to Mammoth for the week.
Right. Where's Rachel today?
She's at home.
Not in your house?
No, not here.
Oh, you were ignoring us just because?
Oh, Laura says you were ignoring her.
What do you mean ignoring you just because?
Yeah, we were talking to you during the break sometimes.
During the breaks when you disappear, we always assume that it's Rachel's there.
No, just me and Jack. Just me and the dog. Mm. Just me and my guy.
Though. Where does Jack hang out while you're doing the show?
He's literally like 6 or 7 feet from me. He's sleeping on the couch right now. I'm surprised you can't even hear him snoring. He's so loud.
Yeah, Chewy snores pretty loud, too.
You know, Jack was trying to get into my room last night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wait, you sleep with him?
Yeah.
Well, I do normally, but
if
Rachel sleeps over, she does not allow the dog in the bed. You want to know why, George?
Why is that?
Dog one time bit her in the tuchus.
Oh!
Ryan, I was going to say something, but I won't.
Me too, but I was like, never mind.
Yep, bit her right in the tuchus.
Mm.
He was jealous, defending his territory.
That's right. Yeah. He's like, wait a second, this is my bed. I sleep here.
Yeah, get out of my spot.
My bed, my man. Yeah.
Right. Right.
I love it.
I feel like Chewy is very territorial like that.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is our only show of the week. Tomorrow's Lakers, Wednesday's Lakers, Thursday's Rams, and we literally are off the air Friday's Lakers.
Yeah.
But Friday, just one thing. Friday, I will be on the air. I'm taking over for John Ireland. I'm working with Steve Mason. It's the first time me and Mace have ever done a broadcast together.
Yeah.
And that's Friday from Black Gold Golf.
Awesome. I'll be listening.
All right.
I mean, probably not. I got to be honest. Maybe if I'm in the car.
Well, I hope everybody will come out and support Folds of Honor because that's a great organization. And
yes,
we're gonna
do that,
a bunch of money.
Do that for sure. Yeah. All right. Let's do our picks against the spread because we have 4 minutes and 30 seconds. All right, Cappy. Raiders, Rams. Vegas Raiders on the road. 6-point favorites. Rams are 6-point underdogs at home. What do you got?
Take the Raiders.
And?
I'm going to make that my 4.
For those that don't know, we pick 5 games, the game you're against the spread, the game you're most confident in against the spread, you assign it a 5, the game you're least confident in, you assign it a 1, and so on and so forth in between. All right, Lindsay, go.
I'm going Raiders 5, like always.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't realize that was a thing. Laura, I know where you're going.
Yeah, Rams 5.
Rams 5. I will also go with the Rams plus the 6 at home. They were feisty this week with Wolford. And they were feisty against Kansas City, to be honest. I think they covered that one, too. I will take that, but that's my 2. Jets at the Bills. Bills are 9.5-point favorites against Mike White and the Jets. I'm going to take the Bills, and that's my 1. That's a big number.
I'm going to take the Jets, and that's my 1.
Linz.
I'm going to take the Bills, and that's my 4.
Laura.
I'm going to take the Bills, and that's my 4.
Okay. Vikings at the Lions. The Detroit Lions, Cappy's other team. The Detroit Lions, 1-point favorite at home. They've played very well at home. I'm going to do this just for you, Cap. It's a little tip of the cap to Cap.
Okay.
Lions minus the 1, because I feel like that's a trap game. Everybody looks at that. Oh, the Vikings are definitely going to win. Lions, and that's my 5.
Oh, I love
that
call.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
Love that call. I'm a Lions fan. I'm a Dan Campbell fan. I love what they've been able to do so far this year. Remember, this was like a 1-6 football team, and now they're like a 5-7 football team. But in this particular instance, Kevin O'Connell, Vikings, and that is my 2.
Okay. Laura or Lindsay, whichever. Go ahead.
I am also a Dan Campbell fan. I've jumped on his bandwagon because of you, Cappy. But it's only – I'm going to pick Lions to win, but it's only my 1.
All right. Lauda?
Vikings won.
Okay. Eagles at the Giants. The Eagles are 7-point favorites on the road heading to MetLife Stadium. I'm going to take the Eagles to cover, and that's my 3. Cappy.
Eagles cover, and that's my 3.
Oh, Linz.
Eagles 2.
Lauda.
Eagles 3.
Okay. Dolphins at Chargers. The Dolphins are 3-point road favorites at L.A., at SoFi. I'll be in the house. Cappy will not. I'm going to take the Dolphins, and that's my 4.
I think I only have a 4 left. No, I've got my 5 left.
Yeah,
I've
this 5 is, this is perfect for you.
Yeah. I saved it. I've got the Dolphins, and that's my 5. Big winner.
Linz.
I've got the Dolphins, and that's my 3.
Lauda.
I got the Dolphins, and that's my 2.
Now watch the Chargers win this damn game.
Oh, they're going to win
for
sure.
They better not.
100% they're going to win.
Now
Rams
that we all
better
picked
win,
against
though,
them.
On Thursday, because I'll be there.
Yeah, we all picked against them, so that's how it's going to work.
I cannot believe this is our only show of the week.
You've
LeBron.
Said that now like 17
I mean,
times.
Come on, LeBron.
Like,
on,
it's
LeBron.
His fault.
I mean, LeBron, come on. Help us out, will you?
It's our only show of the week, but you got a show still.
Yeah,
you still have Friday.
Yeah,
you
do Friday. Exactly.
I'll be there Friday.
Yeah.
You're cheating on us. It's okay.
Should I show up on Friday?
It'd be great to have you. And I'll tell you this right now.
What time are you going
to
be there?
I'm going to be there from 1 to 3. Okay? And George, look, when you are a military
His face,
family,
though.
I know, I'm sure. He's like, what? 1 to 3. Deal with that traffic.
Then traffic driving back from Yorba Linda.
But when
you are a military family and you have sacrificed for America and you've got children, I just feel strongly that the one thing we can do for our military is help their children. And so for years I've been doing this kind of stuff where I've raised money for scholarships for military families' kids. I feel really strongly about it. And if everybody would come out and help me, Mace, Sedano, Subaru, ESPN LA, Folds of Honor Foundation, be great to have everybody.
Everyone else should go. I may show up.
You ain't coming.
I'm a hard maybe.
You're not coming.
I'm working.
Yeah. I probably not, I got to be honest.
You're not coming.
I mean, maybe.
I can't blame you. I can't blame you.
Maybe. You know, it's possible. You know, I have family in the area.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, we'll have to see. You know, the kids are at school. That's also, you know, I got to pick them up. My wife may be working. I have to check. Is she working on Friday? I don't even know anymore.
If I wasn't doing this on Friday, I would have taken the whole week and gone and done something, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Lindsay's going to Hawaii.
Well, are you really?
I don't know if I'm going to go to Hawaii, but no, I'm going to do something. I was going to enjoy.
She's going to go to the Chargers game.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go to Vegas, to be honest.
Go to the Dolphins game.
That's right.
Seriously, go to the Dolphins game. Don't go to the Chargers game.
Like, there were a lot. There were a lot of Seahawks fans there this week, too. Do you think, how many Dolphins fans, like, percentage, do you think?
I don't think it'll be that high because it's a long trip. And
there's a lot of Dolphins fans around the country, though.
Yeah, but it's not like Steeler fans or Cowboy fans or Packer fans.
I'm going to say at least 60-40. Dolphins fans.
I hope you're right.
I believe so. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. All right. Great job, Cappy. Great job, Linz and Laura. We will talk to you next week. Have a great week.